Welcome to the Gregory Digout Podcast.
Well, I want to talk to you today about the healing power of connection. The healing power of connection. That our connection together is going to heal us emotionally, heal us in many cases physically. It's going to heal our cities, our communities, our families. You know, as I've shared over the last couple of weeks, there is truly a mental health epidemic in our culture. The recent shootings is the heartbreaking punctuation. It's a punctuation mark on this reality that, and we're called to help heal this. We're called to help solve this. The following description that I give you of the emotional epidemic in our culture is proof that the heart of humanity has been overtaken by soul sickness and the misery that it creates. But that's what the church is for, right? To introduce people to the real Jesus, the one who heals the soul, the one who heals the heart, the one who heals the mind, the one who can heal the family, the community. He is the one. And we're facing some dire times from a soul, emotional standpoint, a mental health standpoint. 20 million Americans battling addictions, 10 million who are victims of domestic violence, 8 million who suffer from eating disorders, not to mention the thousands of homicides and suicide victims. Tragically, more than 1 million people, as I've shared with you before, 1 million people commit suicide each year, and more than 20 million attempt it and fail. These are staggering numbers. Thousands of elementary school children who are injuring themselves, cutting themselves, burning themselves, pulling out their own hair, punching themselves. This is nothing new or original in our modern culture, but it's more heartbreaking than ever. Self-injury, though, goes back 2,000 years. Look at Mark chapter 5, verse 5, as I've shared with you, and always it says about this man who was demon-possessed and mentally ill. Always, night and day, he was in the mountains and in the tombs, crying and cutting himself with stones, cutting himself. These things have been happening for thousands of years, and these emotional epidemics are proof that the heart of humanity needs to be healed. That's what we're here for. When we introduce people to the real Jesus, that's when healing begins. That's when miracles happen. Look at this amazing verse in Proverbs. And I want to read this to you because it's always impacted my life, especially in the Passion Translation of Proverbs chapter 15, verse 30. Eyes that focus on what is beautiful bring joy to the heart, and hearing a good report refreshes and strengthens the inner being. I don't think I can repeat this verse enough. It's so powerful. That eyes that focus on what is beautiful bring joy to the heart. We've got to get focused on the right things here, gang, because so often our world is getting us focused on the negative, focused on the things that are wrong, and we need to address those things and face those things. But one of the ways that heals the human soul is by hearing good news. In fact, one translation of this verse says, good news makes for good health. Good news makes for good health. We all need this supernatural health in our lives, and I want you to experience it. God wants you to experience it. And over the next few weeks, I'm going to keep talking about this. Over the next few years, I'm sure that we are going to focus on what's truly beautiful, because what we focus on shapes our souls. That's why Jesus said in Revelation chapter 3, the first cure to the sick soul, the first cure to the broken condition, the first cure is to let Jesus in, to invite him in. In Revelation chapter 3, verse 20, Jesus said, behold, I stand at the door and I knock. He said, whoever will hear my voice and open the door, I will come into them and I will dine with them and they with me. We need to be inviting Jesus into a deeper level of our souls. Come in, Jesus, to my body. Come in, Jesus, to my finances. Come in, Jesus. Come into my home. Come into my family. Come into my health. Come into my business. Come into my job. Come into my relationships. Come into my children's lives. Come into my parents' lives. Come into my life. Come into my day. Don't just be my savior, but be my friend today. I want you to realize how powerful this invitation really is, because Jesus doesn't go where he's not invited. And if we consider, as I shared with you, the story of two sisters who invited Jesus into their home. You know, it's amazing to me that Martha was the one who actually invited Jesus into her home. Mary was her sister, so Martha probably was the older one, but she was the one who put out the invitation, welcomed her into her home, it says. He entered a village and a woman named Martha welcomed him into her home. Martha is the one who we always associate with as the one who had the worry and the anxiety and the trouble and the distractions, and she is that one. But I want you to realize she's also the one who invited him in. Once you invite Jesus in, there's still a choice that has to be made in your life. Once you're born again, once you've accepted Jesus into your life, there's still a choice of how you're going to position your heart towards him. Are you in a posture of listening to him or a posture of telling him what you think he should do? I want you to see that Jesus accepted the invitation from Martha, but that's where the problem began in Martha's life, or where it was revealed in Martha's life, because circumstances don't cause problems in our lives. They usually just reveal problems that already exist. And I want you to see that Mary, in verse 39, was sitting at the feet of Jesus, listening to his word, but Martha was distracted with all the preparations. I want you to see the vast difference in these two postures, these two mentalities, mindsets, or attitudes. What the difference is between Mary and Martha is what they were focusing on. Mary was focused on Jesus and his beauty and listening to him and sitting with him. Martha was focused on what had to be done, what had to be cleaned, what had to be prepared for her Lord. Both of their entire emotional lives were based on one thing, what they were focused on. But let's continue with this story for a moment, because it leads us to what I want to get to today in embracing the healing power, experiencing the healing power of connection. You see, Jesus was in both Mary and Martha's house. It's the same house. It's the same Jesus. It's the same people that are there. But Mary was connected. Well, there's power in connection. Martha was on her own serving. Mary was cultivating closeness. Martha was distant. Mary was compelled to listen and to love. Martha was compelled to complain. Mary celebrated Jesus. Martha criticized Jesus. Mary served Jesus by listening to him. Martha tried to serve Jesus by telling him what to do. Now listen, I'm not hating on Martha. I love Martha and I've been Martha. But I'm choosing today to be Mary, because there's healing power in connection. And I want you to choose to be like Mary, where there's healing power in your connection with Jesus and our connection together. You see, Jesus went on to say in Luke 10:42, when he was correcting Martha, he said, only one thing is really necessary, and Mary has chosen that good part, and it's not going to be taken from her. You see, connection. She chose to thrive on the connection. She chose to draw on the power of connection. The electricity in this building where I'm speaking, the electricity in your home right now has to be connected. Has to be connected. You have to connect to the power source. There are wireless connections all over the world to give you access to the power of Wi-Fi. But life is frustrating and so difficult when you're disconnected from that power source, when you can't get a clear signal. I don't want to mention any telephone companies' names, but some of them they're worse signals than others. But we need to discover the connection, the power that comes by being connected to Jesus and connected to one another. Consider the woman with the issue of blood for a moment. In Mark chapter 5, verse 25 and 26, it says, now a certain woman had a flow of blood for 12 years and had suffered many things from many physicians. She even spent all that she had and only got worse. She didn't get better. Notice what happened. Notice the condition of this woman. She was broke and she was sick and she was getting sicker. I need to repeat that again. I need you to see the condition of this woman. She's broke and she's sick. She spent all her money on doctors to try to get better and she got worse. something we all know what it's like to experience, right? We know what it's like to be broke sometimes, we know what it's like to be sick sometimes, and we know what it's like to be getting worse rather than better. And I want you to see what happens here in verse 27. After hearing about Jesus, she came up in the crowd behind him and she touched his cloak, for she said to herself, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. She said that to herself, if I just touch your garments, if I just touch his garments, I will get well. And the Bible says immediately the flow of blood was dried up and she felt in her body she was healed of her affliction. And verse 30 goes on to say, immediately Jesus, perceiving in himself that power had proceeded from him and gone forth, turned around in the crowd and said, who touched me? He turned around and he said, who touched me? And his disciples said to him, you see the crowd pressing in on you and you say, who touched me? And he looked around to see the woman who had done this. But the woman, fearing and trembling, aware of what had happened to her, came and fell down before him and told him the whole truth. And he said to her, daughter, your faith has made you well. Go in peace and be healed of your affliction. Now I want you to notice the transfer of power and when it occurred. I want you to notice there was a transfer of power from Jesus to this woman. And I want to ask you something. When did that power flow? When was that transfer of power? Was it when Jesus decided? No. Was it when the disciples decided? No. Or was it when the woman decided? Right? She said to herself, if I just touch his garment. He had to ask, who touched me? So it wasn't because of what he decided. He already decided he wants you well. He already decided he wants the power in your life. He already decided that he loves you. He already decided. It's up to you now to decide if you're going to plug into that power. We have the ability right now to connect to the power source. And listen, that connection is what releases the power of God into our lives. Without this connection, we are powerless in life. Oh, we can achieve some things still in our human power, but to truly experience the power to be healed, to be healthy, to be made whole, to make a great impact in life, it comes through the power of connection. And I believe there are three things and three ways that we need to tap into the power of connection. Number one, we need to plug in to the connection with God in our relationship. We need to plug in to Him. We need to plug into our relationship with Him, our worship with Him, our prayer to Him, talking to Him. This is the first connection that we all have to release the power in our lives. There is healing power in our connection. She said, if I just touch his garment, and power went through his body into hers. Every time you talk to God, power is flowing through you. Every time you pray, every time you worship, there is power. You are tapping into your connection with God. The power of God flows through your connection with Him. It flows through your connection in simply praying. One of the greatest ways that I connect with God every day in my life is praying in tongues. Now, there's a lot of teaching that has existed in the body of Christ on tongues, and some of the teaching has really been healthy and helpful and encouraging. Some of it has been divisive, because I don't believe that you're a more holy or worthy person if you pray in tongues. You're not a more spiritual person if you pray in tongues. But it is a gift that God has given us that truly brings effectiveness and power in our lives. Because the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2, for when I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. No one understands. When I pray in tongues, no one understands except God. God understands, it says in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verse 2. Because in our spirit, we're speaking mysteries to God. Wow, that is a powerful thought when you think about that. When we're praying in tongues, we're speaking mysteries to God. It's funny, we think the opposite. If we pray in English or if we pray in our own language, then we'll solve the mysteries. But praying in tongues is what solves the mysteries, it says. We're speaking mysteries to God. And if we're speaking mysteries to God, we're going to receive answers to the mysteries from God. There's so many things that I've had questions about that praying in tongues has solved. There's so many things and times that I didn't know what to do, praying in tongues has solved. There's so many times where I was discouraged, and praying in tongues has solved. There's so many times where I felt beat down rather than built up, and praying in tongues solved it. And I want you to know that you can have this precious gift, but this is part of the connection that releases the power of God in your life. Prayer. If all you know how to do is pray in English and pray God's promises, that's great. That's enough to last you a lifetime. Praying in tongues is like icing on the cake. It really is, though, helpful in the deep moments when we don't know what to pray as we should. And I've always found that anyone that's ever come up to me and said, hey, can you help me be baptized in the Holy Spirit and have the ability to pray in tongues? And every time somebody asks me that, I offer to pray for them, lay hands on them if they're in my presence. And every time, there's been a few exceptions, I would imagine, but just about every time I pray for that, pray with somebody for that, they always begin to worship God and pray in tongues. You know, you can have that gift right now and have a deeper connection with God. Why not ask for it right now? The Bible says, even Jesus said, that anyone who asks for the Holy Spirit, anyone who asks the Father for the Holy Spirit, He will give it to him. He said, if you fathers are asked by your children for something to eat, you don't give them a stone, you don't give them a snake, you don't give them a scorpion. He said, so anyone who asks the Father for the Holy Spirit, God will give him freely. God will give him freely to whoever asks. Why not let's ask right now? Pause for a moment and ask God. Ask the Father. Come on, I'll lead you in this prayer. Just say, Heavenly Father, baptize me in the Holy Spirit. Awaken in me this beautiful gift of tongues. Just pray that out loud. Awaken in me, Heavenly Father, this beautiful gift of tongues. And now just lift your hands and just start praying. Sometimes I just encourage people, just start praying and thanking Him. Just start thank you, Jesus, and just get caught up in that gratitude. And thank you, Jesus, for the gift of the Holy Spirit. Thank you, Jesus, for the gift of tongues. And I begin to speak in tongues, right? It's right on the tip of my tongue, praying in tongues right now. Not trying to prove anything, but I'm just trying to say, when I start giving God thanks, it rolls, it flows into this just heavenly language. And I pray for that gift of the Holy Spirit to be given to you. It sounds silly sometimes, but the Bible says to the fool, God's wisdom seems foolish. And I just want to invite you to take that gift, take advantage of that gift, and receive that gift. Heavenly Father, baptize me in the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in tongues and praying in tongues in Jesus' name. And just lift your hands and start praying right where you are. I'm not trying to talk to you in tongues. I'm just trying to demonstrate to you how simple it is to begin to speak whatever sounds come to you. It really is a precious gift. And I want to invite anybody to receive that right now. Also, if you get my book at the end of the service, The Power of a New Life, in this book, it's free, by the way, anywhere in the world, you can download it. There is a chapter on the power of the Holy Spirit, and I go through all the verses or several of the verses on, specifically on the baptism of the Holy Spirit and praying in tongues, okay? So that'll show you more in case you're wondering, I got to see more of the scripture about it. It's all in here. Grab that and you can go right to that section if you'd like to. So number one, power flows, healing power flows through our connection with God. Number two, healing power flows through our connection with each other through church community. Jesus said, where two or three are gathered in my name, there I am in the midst of them. This connection with church, this connection with your church family, this connection with your church community, both in gatherings of church services and worship services, as well as life groups, connect groups. This is a powerful form of releasing healing. The Bible says that if two of you agree about anything they ask, it shall be done by my Father who's in heaven. Think about the power that comes from being in agreement, the power that comes from being in unity, the power that comes, he said in Psalm 133, the great chapter of Psalms on unity, it says, for there the Lord commands the blessing, where the brethren are gathered together, where there's unity. There's an anointing that flows. There's an anointing of power that flows. He commands his blessing to flow where there's unity, where there's connection. And I realize that there have been times where we as believers have been connected to other believers who have hurt us, who have damaged us, who have affected us. But I believe that each and every one of us will find healing if we will go back to a church that is healthy, a church that we can connect to, a church that we can come into agreement that believes in the power of prayer and believes in the power of the Holy Spirit and believes in the power of God's promises. This is connection with the church, connection with the church community, a church family. See, we are called to belong, not just to believe. We're created for community. We're fashioned for fellowship. We're formed for family. And none of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. None of us can fulfill God's purposes by ourselves. We need each other. So connection number one to God through prayer and worship. Connection number two to each other through the church body, through the church community. And I want us to talk more for the next few moments about what the Bible says about us together and what we can do together. But I want to tell you quickly about the third thing that the third way that power flows, healing power flows through connection. So connection to God, connection to church family, and connection to this world. Now see, we are supposed to be connected to this world, but we're not supposed to be connected to this world where we're learning of its ways and where we're following the world's ways. We're to be connected to this world to introduce them to Jesus. We're to be connected to this world through kindness. We're to be connected to this world through servanthood, through evangelism, through serving others, through solving the problems in our communities, the problems in our world. The power of God flows when we're connected to these three things. When we're connected to God as our Father, when we're connected to our church community, even right now, in this moment, in our church service, this online community is connection. But we need to connect to this world. We don't need to disconnect from this world. We need to disconnect from the world's ways. We need to do things God's way, but we need to connect with this world through kindness, through serving, through evangelism, through solving the problems that are in humanity. Our life calling should be removing suffering from somewhere. Everything you do in life should be something that removes suffering from yourself or from somebody else who is hurting or who's suffering in some way. You see, God's heart is to have a connection with us between me and him, between you and him. God's heart for you is for us to have a connection between each other. And God's heart for us is to have a connection to this world, but the right connection, a connection of kindness, a connection of evangelism, a connection of serving people, introducing people to the real Jesus, cultivating in people their true worth. Wow, you know what the Bible says? That he who is wise wins souls. I pray for wisdom right now, that each one of us will be a soul winner. I pray, God, for wisdom. Heavenly Father, give us wisdom today, that each one of us will go after souls. Each one of us will show kindness. Each one of us will reach out to others in this world and help solve the suffering that is in them. Help heal the pain that they are experiencing. God, thank you for the gifts of the Spirit to flow through us, gifts of miracles, gifts of healing, gifts of words of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of prophecy, that we would truly bless this world with the gifts of God, that we would bless this world with the presence of God, that we would bless this world with the kindness of God. I pray for that now in Jesus' name. Amen. Now there you have connection. And this is how healing power flows. connection with God, your connection with each other, and our connection to this world in the right way, right? And so many people miss this, but the Bible tells us so many great truths about how this power flows. It says that we are joined together, we're built together, we're members together, we're heirs together, we're seated together, we're fitted together, we're held together, we'll be caught up together. You're not on your own anymore. While your relationship to Jesus is personal, God never intended it to be private. Your relationship with Jesus is personal, but it's also something to be lived out with your church family. In God's family, you're connected to every other believer, and we belong to each other for eternity. We belong to each other for eternity. I want you to think about that. We're going to be with each other for eternity. That's why we need to learn now how to get along. The Bible says to be devoted to one another, to honor one another. What does that mean? It means that we respect the feelings and the concerns and the needs of others as much or more than ourselves at times. Sometimes you have to take care of yourself, and sometimes you need to be honoring the needs of somebody else. It goes on to say we need to live in harmony with one another. We need to accept one another in Romans chapter 15. We need to serve one another in Galatians chapter 5. Be kind to one another in Ephesians chapter 4. Encourage one another in Hebrews chapter 3, verse 13. Inspire and spur on one another towards good deeds in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. Assemble with one another in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 25. And love one another, 1 Peter chapter 4. Verse 7, love is the key. Love is the answer. Show me a church where there's love, and I'll show you a church where there's power in that community. I want to encourage you today. There is so much power in connection. Connection with God, connection with each other and our church, and connection with this world. But I want to show you how powerful connection really is with this illustration from a scientific experiment that happened many years ago. Bruce Alexander was a professor of psychology in Vancouver, and he carried out an incredible experiment I think really helps us to understand the power of connection. Professor Alexander explained the idea of addiction, because there are so many people dealing with addiction in life right now. We have it in our heads, he said. The story goes that comes partly from a series of experiments that were done earlier in the 20th century. They're really simple. You can do them tonight at home if you feel a little sadistic. You can actually do this experiment. You get a rat and you put him in a cage and you give it two water bottles. One water bottle is just water, and the other water bottle is laced with either heroin or cocaine. If you do that, the rat will almost always prefer the drug water and almost always kill itself quickly. So Professor Alexander said, so that's how it works, right? But in the 70s, he came along and said, wait, that doesn't seem to make sense. He looked at this experiment and he noticed something. He said, we're putting the rat in an empty cage. He said, it's got nothing to do except use these drugs. That rat has nothing to do except use these drugs. Let's try something different. So Professor Alexander built a cage, a very fancy cage that he called Rat Park, which is basically heaven for rats. They've got loads of cheese, they've got loads of colored balls, they've got loads of tunnels. They've got, and crucially, most importantly, he found out, they've got loads of friends. His scientific experiment went on to say they can have loads of sex in that rat park. And they've got both the water bottles, the normal water bottle and the drugged water bottle. But here's the fascinating thing. In rat park, they don't like the drug water. They almost never use it. None of them use it compulsively, and none of them ever overdose. So in these experiments, they went from almost 100% of these rats overdosing when they're isolated to 0% when they're isolated, but to 0% overdosing when they were happy and they had connected lives. When all they had was themselves and two bottles of water, they always went after the drug water, and 100% of them killed themselves that way. But when they had community, no one got addicted. None of the rats got addicted and overdosed. Why? Because they had something that met their need greater than the drug, and it was community. It was connection. Boy, there's power in our connection. Let's pray together. And let's invite Jesus into our lives if you've never done that before. And let's invite God's Spirit to keep connecting us closer and keep releasing the power that comes, the healing power that comes from connection. Just pray first. If you've never received Jesus, just say, Heavenly Father, I accept Jesus into my life. Just say that. I accept Jesus Christ into my life. You like to be sure you're going to heaven when you die. Just say, Jesus, come into my life. I believe Jesus died for my sins and rose from the dead. From this moment forward, I'm a child of God. If you prayed that prayer, I want to encourage you, get a copy of this book. Like I said, you can download this anywhere. The Power of a New Life is the next steps in this journey with God. And I pray, Father, for the Holy Spirit to minister, encourage, inspire each and every one of us to find healing power in our connection with you, healing power in our connection with each other, and healing power as we connect to this world to distribute the power of God to hurting humanity. In Jesus' name, amen. Hey, love you guys. I just prophesy healing over you. I prophesy blessing over you. I prophesy your best days are your next days, and your life is going to get better and better because you are on the path of the righteous. I love you guys, and I'll see you at our next service. God bless.